Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hi there, it's Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that you are here. We have no time to waste. I've got my cup of coffee, and I am ready to hit it. And because we're all about learning, we've got an incredible guest by the name of Mac Story. He is the founder of Blue Collar Leadership, and he's going to be providing three successful blue collar leadership principles that, I think you need to hear. And before I get going, a little bit about our friend Mac Story. First off, his nickname is Sparky. And I'll tell you right now, in the interview, he's got a lot of energy and a lot of drive, and he's real passionate about leadership. He's a Marine. He's got 20-plus years of manufacturing expertise, and he's developed a passion for leadership as a result of that career. Now, he focuses on process improvement, organizational change, cultural transformation, and a lot of other leadership principles. Some of his clients include Chevron, Southern Company, Coke, Kimberly-Clark, and a number of other. He's an amazing man. We are so honored and proud to be able to be a part of his quick little world and interview him. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Sparky, a.k.a. Mac Story. All right, it's Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and this week I am so proud to have a gentleman by the name of Mac Story. Now, this guy has incredible credentials, and quite frankly, don't have enough time to read through it. But let's just say that he has been doing work with Auburn University, Kimberly-Clark, Koch Industries, and so on and so forth. And I just want to extend just an incredible invitation to Mac Story. Welcome to the show there, Mac.
Well, thank you for having me, Scott. It's a privilege to be on the Industrial Talk podcast today. And do I need my safety glasses and steel-toed boots? I've heard some of your other podcasts, and I know that might be a requirement. I don't know.
It is. We're all about safety over here, and okay. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Even though I'm sitting down talking on a mic, it could be – well, it can't be dangerous too bad. So, anyway, I really, once again, appreciate you being on the show. Tell me a little bit about this blue-collar leadership and all the good stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, my background is manufacturing, so I started on the front lines of manufacturing in 1988, actually at Dana Corporation. And for the next 10 years, I was basically a frontline machine operator. I worked for Falk Corporation for nearly 14 years. Some people may know of Falk. They're in the power transmission industry, and I was in the division that made the couplings. And so I dealt with a lot of CNC lathes, mills and drills and gear shapers and that sort of thing. So I really have a passion for the blue collar folks. From 2005 to 2012, I should say also, I led leaders and their cross-functional teams through lean manufacturing Kaizen events.
Yeah, so I had some books right behind me about Kaizen, right over there. We're on a video,
okay.
So if anybody is seeing that I'm pointing, you can't see it, but he can see it. It's all good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's, over those 20 years, I worked my way up through a bunch of different positions, programming, setup person, CNC programmer, drafting, engineering type roles with bill of materials and routings and custom orders and pricing and can we make it or not make it and all kind of stuff like that. And then in 2005, I got into the process improvement piece, and I was actually working for Donaldson Company at that time. We were making mufflers for trucks. And we started down the lean path, and I grabbed that bull by the horns and said I'd lead it, and really enjoyed that from 2005 to 2012, over 11,000 hours leading the leaders and their cross-functional teams through process improvement, organizational change, and cultural transformation.
Now, I'm really passionate about process improvement. I might not get into the level of detail that you get into, but I'm a big square box, decision box, process type of guy. And that intrigues me because that fits right into what you do. And tell me, Mac, what makes you so passionate about that blue collar space?
Well, like I say, I lived in it for 20 years, literally, either working on the front lines or supporting those working on the front lines. And I know the heart that these folks have. I still say I'm one of them, even though you might see me wear a suit today. When I'm talking to blue collar folks and they see me in the suit, I always tell them that I've worn a lot worse to make a lot less. So it's part of the sacrifice of giving the go up is to wear the suit and the tie so I can now kind of invade the white collar world. But well, I'm so passionate about these people because, I mean, just by nature, blue collar people are hard workers. And as I grew and started leading these teams, I started reading leadership books in 2008, same year I resigned from the corporate world and started my own lean consulting business. And by 2012, I was so passionate about leadership and personal growth. And I had been teaching then at that time 4 years that I was teaching leadership to all of my lean teams and my Kaizen teams. And I saw how hungry these people on the front lines who were just like me, who had never heard that type of content, how hungry they were. And I started seeing people saving their marriage. And I remember two supervisors one day that came into my training, and later I learned that their boss had set them beside each other on purpose, hoping that somehow this was going to help build their relationship. They had almost been in a fist fight, literally, on the shop floor in the past. And at the end of this week-long training, which was 70% leadership personal growth and a little bit of overview of what the lean tools were. So we talk about lean is usually the tool set, but leadership really is the mindset. And so I focus on the mindset now. Mostly that's all I do. But at the end of the week,
I have to interrupt real quick. I mean, you're not just your normal individual that all of a sudden, you know, gets up in the morning, goes to work, and then comes back home and then takes care of the family and all that good stuff, which is a very noble profession. What compelled you to say, gosh, I want to know more about leadership. I want to read leadership book. I want to develop personally and share with the listeners of why that's important and why they should consider finding these books too as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I back up just a little bit, and I leave on that last note to say those two guys were friends by the end of that week.
That's fantastic.
And so what had inspired me to talk about it and teach it and share it was when I first discovered it. I worked for billion-dollar companies, and I'd been there for, you know, 20 years in that industry, and I never had one penny or one minute of time invested into me as an employee of these companies to teach me any of that type stuff. So I was never exposed to it. And in 2008, a friend of mine actually had given me a 1 hour audio on my iPod at the time. In 3 years before I ever listened to it, had put it on there for me when he loaded some music. And that was my first exposure. And it was the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, a 1 hour overview.
Absolutely.
When Dr. Covey started talking, I mean, I was hearing stuff I ain't never heard from a human being. And I was like, this makes a lot of sense. And you had to know me, Scott. I was in a different place mentally back in my earlier years. And so that stuff started making sense. And I said, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to believe what he's saying, that between stimulus and response, human beings have the freedom to choose their response. And I'm going to try that. And I'm going to start pausing when something happens and choose my response and become more effective. And my life completely changed. I had a personal transformation. And again, Dr. Covey, immediately on that audio, that 1 hour little overview, he said, if you truly want to learn this content, and this is an answer to your question, he says, you've got to start teaching this within 24 to 48 hours. He says that within the first couple of minutes on that 1 hour overview.
Hold it. When you're saying, so you're reading the book, you're reading the information, you're gleaning this wisdom, and then Covey would say, okay, now go out and do it within 24 to 48 hours.
Yes, sir. He says, if you truly want to learn what you're learning from me, 24 to 48 hours, you need to go out and teach it. And I did. I started teaching it at home to my wife, my mom. My mom reads more leadership books probably than I do today because she saw my transformation. And then immediately I was leading these lean teams as an outside consultant. So I got to decide what we did during the week. All we had to do was be effective by Friday, and we start on Monday, and by Friday, if we've accomplished the mission, they don't care what I did. So I started teaching immediately. I mean, I was just learning this stuff. I started playing that 1 hour audio on opening day on Monday morning to help these people to see just if they were interested as I was. And I found out these people were unbelievably interested
so
in growth.
Let's say out of 10 people, I mean, I don't know the size of your group, but out of 10 people, was there, I mean, what percentage said, Doggone it there, Mac. That's fantastic stuff. I want to know more. What do you think sort of that whole buy-in, how many, what percentage?
How many would say they wanted to know more was probably, I would say, usually 90%.
No way.
I mean, it was.
That's high.
And I would say, though, most of them were not engaged enough. 90% of them would not go out and start reading books. But 90% of them wish their employer would do more of that training. That's what I'm saying there. About 10 or 20% would actually never have to hear me again, never need their employer to invest in them. About 10 or 20% would actually go out and start reading books, just like I did. When I heard Dr. Covey, I've been reading every day since that day in October of 2008. I've been reading leadership books. I just needed a spark. And that's, some people call me Sparky as a nickname because they say that's what I am for other people. And that's what I want to be.
Well, I'm capturing that spark. That's for doggone sure. That's really motivating and inspiring because, you know what's interesting, and it's always fascinated me there, Mac, is the amount of information that just exists. And the reason for the Industrial Talk podcast is just to bring content to people and generate that, quote, spark to learn more, to grow, to advance themselves, because it's all out there.
It's out there.
It's fantastic. And your story is, I got to tell you, it's quite inspiring. Now, tell me, you're sitting there, you're thinking, okay, I got to do this. I've got to start to introduce this philosophy, this approach. What was it like the night before and saying, okay, I guess I'm going to do it?
I really didn't even think about it like that. I just,
God, that's great.
When I heard it, I decided I was going to do it. And I just went and done it. And when I started doing it, I told the folks, in that first session, I said, hey, I got some stuff I just discovered. And if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to play it. If you guys want me to turn it off, I'll turn it off. If you like it, we'll listen to it and we'll talk about it. And I mean, they did like it. They wanted more of it. When I very first started, there was, 100% of the week was lean tools, lean skill sets, tool sets, talking about all the things that most people talk about when they talk about lean, the continuous improvement piece. The whole week, 100% was that. It didn't take very long before that whole week, 80% of that week was leadership, personal growth, and development. And about 20% was the tools, because the leaders of the company saw what was happening to the people. The people wanted nothing but they didn't even want the lean stuff. They wanted and really, Scott, just to say that the two pillars of lean everybody talks about is continuous improvement and respect for the people. True respect for the people, as I teach and talk about it, is growing and develop everyone into a 360-degree leader, meaning helping them increase their influence 360 degrees, regardless of their position or title.
You know, I've always been fascinated by, whenever I would hire individuals to work for my other company, I'd always hire on the base of the heart and look at that individual from that perspective. I know that I could always teach. You know, if that individual had a good heart, that individual could run a forklift with no problem. It was always the mind and the heart. And that's what I hear you're talking about. It's like, okay, these Kaizen principles, these lean principles are improved because now you're tackling, you're focused on the head and the heart of that individual. And so the return, if I were to look at the return on that, is much greater because you're impacting in a positive way the head and the heart.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you know this, Scott. You know, we just met recently, but and I know you have to know this, and your listeners, anybody who knows about lean knows that the greatest challenge is always sustaining the gain. That's what everybody talks about. How do we sustain it? And you sustain it with the head and the heart. They bring in the consultant like I used to be. We can move them forward. We can make the improvement, but usually it regresses back after I leave. And it regresses back because the folks are not really bought in to their leadership, and they're not bought into true Kaizen, which is small change for the better.
But that's the real challenge, too. When you get right down to it, let's say you make a positive mental impact on the frontline people who are truly responsible for those efficiency gains. But how do you tackle the management side of that equation?
Unfortunately, Scott, most of the time I don't get to because they think they don't need it. So what happens is I help grow and develop their people. And those people, there's something called the law of the lid. I learned it from John Maxwell. Basically, it's like, say on a scale of 1 to 10, if their leadership is, say, a 4 out of on a scale of 1 to 10, they bring me in and let's be like unbelievably gracious to me and say I come in as a level 9. So now they putting that team underneath my umbrella for a week. They putting their team, taking them out from underneath a 4 umbrella and putting them underneath a 9 umbrella. So I got a lot of room for them to grow that week. So what happens is they do grow and they do respond to me. And that's part of the mindset. I have to get them out of that level 4 leader mindset and put them under a level 7, 8, 9 mindset, whatever you want to call it. And it's all irrelevant, really. But the thing is, I lead with a different level than most of their leaders. When they hire me as a consultant, they didn't know they were hiring a surrogate leader. So I would show them, I would shine a spotlight on these people. And basically I was saying through literal action, this is what your team is capable of with high impact leadership. But then they would go back and they would regress. And most of the time I don't get to work with the leaders. I've had leaders tell me, because I said, you got to be doing it with them. These people are going to learn stuff you do not know. I don't care how many millions of dollars you make. If you haven't been studying and you don't study it on a daily basis, leadership, development, personal growth, these people are going to learn stuff you don't know. And Scott, you might have heard this, and I want to say it for your listeners who actually know it. What happens when people start growing in leadership, development, personal growth? In lean, we have a term we talk about putting on the lean glasses so you can see the waste in the process. What happens when you develop high-impact leaders and you start teaching leadership, because leadership is character-based principles. That's all high-impact leadership is. And what it does is it's like putting on character glasses. When you start teaching people about leadership, they instead of waste glasses to see waste in the process, they now have a set of glasses to see poor character. And unfortunately, most people don't use them to look in the mirror. They should use them to look in the mirror, but they use them to look out the window initially because it's easier. So they see all the poor character in the workplace.
Hold on to that thought there, Mac. We're going to have to take a break. I am talking to a gentleman, a.k.a. Sparky. His name is Mac Story. He's got all his contacts out there. He's got bluecollarleadership.com. He's got a place out there in Facebook under Mac Story. And, of course, he's out there on Twitter, Mac Story. And I believe you got a LinkedIn account that's pretty robust, too, out there. I just want to say thank you. Hang on, everybody. We've got some great content coming to you next. I am just thrilled that we are here with you and happy to have Mr. Mac Story. Stand by. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking out the Industrial Talk podcast. I am with this week Mr. Mac Story. He is a published author. They call him Sparky, and I can understand why. He's got a lot of energy. He has written 11 books on, well, every topic known to man, primarily leadership, vision, all that good stuff, and it's all out there, and it will be on the Industrial Talk podcast. All links will be directing you to what Mac can provide for you. So in our break, I was asking Mac just a couple of questions, so I'll lay it out. I am a guy, and I did. I was a lathing contractor. I was also a journeyman lineman. I climbed a bunch of towers, and I decided at that time that I'm going to go to school. Now, today, I am a manufacturer, or I'm a blue-collar guy, and I want to capture that spark, that energy, that desire to listen to you and how you've transformed your life and moved it into a direction that benefits your family, all that good stuff. What are the three things that you would direct me and say, hey, hi, I'm Scott McKenzie. Mac, please tell me what these three things are.
Yeah, I'll pull three things, which are three chapters out of my Blue Collar Leadership book, which actually shows how I was promoted 14 times in 20 years. Those are the principles I put into those 30 chapters. And what I would say is is understanding the difference between common sense and uncommon sense. And I would say to understand that everyone on this planet works for themselves. Unless they're working for free, then you're serving other people, which is fine. I do a lot of serving, but if I'm getting paid, I'm working for myself. And then the other thing is understanding the difference between asking for responsibility and asking for a raise.
Tell me about that common sense and uncommon sense. Tell me what I expand upon that.
Okay. So a lot of things like you, people read my books and they'll say, oh, this is, I've heard this before. This is nothing new. And I say, there's nothing new. Fundamentally and principally, there's nothing new under the sun. They're timeless principles. But what I say there is a lot of people will hear something, just like when I started reading every day in 2008. Instead of picking, in 2012, I stopped picking up beers, a beer, and I started picking up a book. I stopped picking up a remote and started picking up a book instead of watching TV. And you can ask people, you can say, you know, if you start reading every day something about your purpose and your passion, 10 years from now, you'll be in a different spot. And they'll say, oh, yeah, absolutely. If I quit doing these wasteful things and do meaningful things, that's common sense. And what I say is people use the word wrong. When someone says common sense, they use it meaning that anybody would do it. But what they really mean is anybody should understand it. And many of these things that people say are common sense actually require uncommon sense, a different intellectual capacity to actually execute.
So it just from my perspective, and granted, I am a I'm an education junkie, but I can always improve upon that, and distractions are everywhere, boy, especially today when we've got all this social stuff out there. And
yeah,
and to be able to, and once again, I pivot again and talk about the information is out there. It is the individual's head and heart that says, I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm going to commit, and I'm going to commit to learning and understanding whatever my purpose, my yeah. passion, my, and I want to be a leader. And to do that, of course, you're going to have to educate yourself.
Now, that's common sense, right? But it's not common practice.
It is not common practice. You're absolutely spot on with that. And but everybody can do it. And boy, I'll tell
you. Anybody can do it. It requires uncommon sense.
You're not as old as I am, but when the death word when I was interested in learning about something was go get the encyclopedia. I just didn't want to do that. But today, all I have to do is pull up the smartphone and type in whatever, and boom, I've got a gazillion hits on that particular subject. Oh, and if I want a video, it's there too. So there's no excuse.
That's
no
right.
excuse whatsoever to not be able to find that information that you need and to take the time and to be able to do that. That's fantastic. Now, you said everybody or everyone works for themselves. Is that what – did I hear that correctly?
Yes, sir. And see, that's the reason I started off with common sense, because it's going to apply to these next two things. And working for yourself, that's common sense. Everyone, when you actually ask that question, people will nod pretty quickly. Once I did it yesterday. We were giving back and serving at our local Goodwill store, and the Goodwill team there, we went and did a couple hours complimentary for their staff. And I asked them, I said, who do you guys work for? Huh. They said, Rhonda. I said, oh, you misunderstood me. I didn't ask who your boss is. Oh, and then another one says, oh, Goodwill. I said, no, I didn't ask you where you work. I said, y'all just misunderstood me. I said, who do you work for? And they got it. They said, oh, I work for myself. I said, yeah, you get paid and you take it to, yeah, you're working for yourself. I said, when you change that mindset and you walk through the door every day and you realize I'm working for myself, because you are, I said, who is your number one customer? And most people, it takes them a little while to get this one. Sometimes they never get it. I have to help them, because in the book I write about it. If you're working for yourself, your number one customer is your boss, because they're paying you.
You know, that is what I hear you talking about there, Mac, is an effort to recognize that, one, I need to rewire my brain to look
Absolutely.
At the world differently and to rewire. I'll give you an example.
Perfect.
If I wanted to learn to play the piano today at my age, it's challenging because my brain has been wired a certain way. Now, if I want to rewire it, create new pathways, then I'm going to have to sit down and practice and work, and it might be harder, but it can be done. And so you're saying, hey, or I'm inferring that there is, you got to rewire that mindset. You've got to be able to say, okay, I'm going to commit to this. And it's just that simple question of, you know, who do you work for? That type of thing. People are so programmed to say, I work for somebody, as opposed to themselves, which is a real, it's subtle, but it's important to note.
Absolutely. It changes your whole frame of reference, because now everybody that you work with, your boss is your number one customer. Everyone else is a potential customer, but everyone you interact with is absolutely an advertiser of your business. And we're talking about the best kind of advertisement is word of mouth. So what is everybody saying about your business, which is you? And if you look at that every day, I'm trying to grow my business, which is my influence. I'm going to be different. When I pull up on a forklift, I'm going to hop off and help you if you need help. I'm not going to say it's not my job.
But I'll tell you right now, this is it's an interesting. They'll come up with that mindset. They'll come up with a resistance.
Absolutely.
And it
can
be a
them.
Structural resistance. How do you encourage someone to say, hey, Mac told me to do this, and boy, it is hard, and I'm not happy. And I don't know, is it really worth me constantly trying to, you know, swim upstream, because I believe it, but boy, it is hard. How do you encourage that individual to keep going?
Yeah, and what you're talking about there is what really separates the people who actually do this successfully and the people who don't. Most people do not do it successfully. What they have to do, and I tell you, Scott, you know, I don't use profanity anymore as part of my growth, but it's BS is what we're talking about. But not that BS. I'm talking about their belief system. And actually, that's chapter 2 in my blue collar book. First, I tell them I'm one of them in chapter 1. Then second chapter is I tell them I believe in them. And because I'm telling them, they have to believe in themselves. That's what happened to me when I heard Dr. Covey say I could do this stuff. What you're talking about was me at that moment. What made me do it? It was not Dr. Covey. I first had to believe what he was telling me, yes, but then I had to believe in myself that I can actually go do this. And I've seen countless people launch like a rocket, but the majority of them are held back like they got an anchor around their waist, and they're letting themselves hold them back, because it's hard to separate yourself from the masses of people who are just like you, who want you to stay right there with them. And it don't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter if you're a frontline entry-level worker or you're a manager or you're a CEO. Everybody in your peer group is always trying to keep you right there, because that's where they're at and they're comfortable. As soon as you start growing, someone's trying to hold you back. And often it's the people in your family or your closest friends. When I quit drinking alcohol, when I went and told my friends the next time I was with them, what do you think? They patted me on the back or offered me a drink?
They didn't pat you on the back. Let's put it that way.
No, they don't do that. No. And that's what you're talking about and asking me. How do I overcome? How do I help people do that? And they have to become engaged mentally. And most of the time, people won't change until they suffered long enough that they have to. That's the unfortunate part of it, because you have to go walk alone for a while. One of my chapters in there is about courage. And I don't talk about courage running into a burning building. I'm talking about courage to stand alone. When I was in the front lines, they should have fired me 100 times, Scott. But they didn't, because they valued performance and they didn't value character, the leaders of my company, when I was a frontline worker. So I worked hard and I was an idiot, and they should have fired me because I would blow up, but they didn't. But when I really started to separate myself, the hard part was leaving all these people who were just like me. You know, we're attracted to people like us. So I was just like them. They were just like me. And now I said, I don't want to be that way anymore. That takes courage. And, you know, I can't make someone have courage to go stand alone. But that's why I want them to know they're working for themselves. They're responsible for their family. They're responsible for their future. Not all these other people that's trying to hold them back. There's so much talent.
Yeah. Go ahead. That pure structure is powerful.
It is.
And the sad reality of that equation is that the potential of an individual is held back. There is something, just contemplate that if individuals just didn't, they took your advice, read your book, realized that there's much more to accomplish. Just think how that would be. I mean, not just, and not worry about what people think or are concerned with or whatever. You do it. What It's fabulous.
And I tell you, Scott, because I missed answering that effectively, now that I reflect back on it and hear you answering
there. You're fine.
Excuse me. But really what it is, and I said it without saying it. So I told the story. Now let me share the principle. That's something we should always do when we're speaking and teaching. Never share a story without sharing a practice. Never share a practice without sharing a story. So the principle, which is the principle and the practice. The principle, though, is how do I get people to do that? Is I believe in them. I loan them my belief. That's what, when I've seen this happen, I loan them my belief. That's where when I go in and I actually get high impact leaders in an organization who do want to grow and develop their people, I'm loaning that leader my belief. And then he cascades his belief into the people. And then he starts doing book studies with these books. And he brings me in multiple times over months. And the people see that he does value them, because now that leader's doing more than required. And they're hearing his message, just like we do with our children. Absolutely no different. When our kid can't walk when he's 1 year old or 2 years old, we can't make them walk. All we can do is believe in them. We can't teach them balance. We can't give them courage. We can't do all of that stuff. All we can do is believe in them. These are principles. They apply throughout the history of the workforce as well. They need leaders who believe in them.
You're right. And so what we have is first off, we've got common sense is uncommon. We've got number two, everyone works for themselves. And you pointed out number three. What was number three?
Yeah, number three is ask for more responsibility. And really, I mean take more responsibility. You don't have to just ask for it. You can take it. When you see something needs doing, do it. Don't wait for somebody to tell you, and don't ask to do it. Just do it. And even then, people will look down on you. They'll badmouth you. They'll say you're sucking up, you're brown nosing, and all this junk. But if it's your business, how do you grow your business? You get better results. So I need to go out and I need to get better results. And I love teaching this principle to high school kids and college students. And what I'll do, Scott, is I'll say, everybody make sure you got your pen, your paper ready, and take this note. Write this down. We'll talk about it in a minute. And I say, and I've kind of said it to you already here, but I said, don't ask for a raise. And they all start writing. Don't ask for a raise. And I make sure everybody's got that written down. And I say, ask for more responsibility. As soon as I say that, Scott, most of them don't write. They look up at me. They were writing when I said, don't ask for a raise. And then when I said, ask for more responsibility, they quit writing and looked at me because it just didn't make sense to them. Then I said, let me give you a perfect example. Let's say you are the boss. And you have everything is equal between two people. Everything. You can't tell that they're both rock stars. And you have a raise. You have money and funds to give one of these people a raise. They're completely equal except for one thing. One of them is always asking and taking more responsibility. What can I do? I want to do more. The other one is always hammering you about what they already doing and they want to raise. You're the boss. Who gets the raise? And they always know it's the one who's always asking for more responsibility. See, that's where that's common sense.
That's wise, yeah.
Common sense to ask for more responsibility to grow and go, but it's uncommon sense to actually do it. So then I say, let's look at the other side of it. Now let's say, same exact scenario, two rock stars, A players, can't tell them apart, but now there's a downturn in the economy. Now I don't need two people. I only need one person. One of them always asking for a raise. The other one always asking for responsibility. And unfortunately, I'm in a crunch. I got to let one go. Which one do I let go? I mean, it's always the one asking for a raise. Everybody shakes their head and nods. And you can do this when it's just nice and comfortable and safe in a auditorium or wherever we're speaking. But doing it requires uncommon sense.
It's what you're pointing out there, Mac, is like you said, something very common, very, and maybe it's me because I'm on this side and I'm used to taking risks and putting myself out there and so on and so forth. But what I hear you saying, and what is really, and we're going to have to take a break, but what is really interesting is that everyone, and I believe this because you believe it there, Mac, you believe in that individual, every single one, that one person.
Absolutely.
And you know that that one person has the power within him or her to do that and change their direction, both professionally and spiritually. And they just got to make the decision and stop some of the practices that they are currently doing, and recognize and have that truthful conversation. Okay, I could keep on going, but I've got a break. I've got a break. I'm here with Sparky, a.k.a. Max Story. He's phenomenal. He's got a lot of power out there, got a lot of great wisdom. He's passionate about the industrial space. He's passionate about that individual. He's got a ton of books out there. He's everywhere. So back to what we were talking about. If you don't take advantage of this fine individual and start to think about changing your life, well, that's your decision, because it's all out there. Hang tight. We will be right back. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Hi, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. I like to learn, and I like to have fun. And when I can put them both together, learning and having fun, well, that's a match made in heaven. That's why I put together a drawing for a Louisiana fish excursion, as well as the 2018 Mardi Gras once-in-a-lifetime event. You can find more about this information, about this two wonderful opportunities, at the Industrial Talk website at industrialtalk.com. Welcome back. I am honored, once again, honored to have Mr. Mac Story, exceptional leader, incredible guy, published this, impacting lives. It goes on and on and on. You're married to a young lady by the name of Rio, correct?
That's right. She's the main attraction. I'm the sideshow.
Now, she talks about the same thing that you're talking about, quite that leadership, that motivation.
Yeah, for people that don't know Rhea, she is unbelievable. Her background's actually healthcare administration, but I resigned the corporate world in 2008 and started down the leadership path really in end of 2012, and she joined me at the end of 2013. So we do this. We've applied all these principles to create the life we want instead of settling for the life we had, you know, which was never together, basically. And we wanted to be together. So we took all these principles that we both write about and speak about, and created, used them, literally leveraged them to create the life we want together.
Oh, that's an incredible story. And once again, and I can go into Mac's background, Mac's family's life, all of that good stuff. And maybe that'll be a story for the next, you know, podcast, because I'm definitely going to hound this guy to get back on, because I believe what he has to say, what he is doing, him and his wife, Rhea, are just incredible servants, and I can't say that enough. Now, we're going to have to wrap this show up here a little bit, but I'm going to recap the three things. Once again, common sense is not too common. It's right. Am I on there?
That's right.
And this will all be out there, everybody. Everyone works for themselves, yourselves, themselves, yourself, right? And then you ask for more responsibility, and all three of those. Now, you got to get out there. You got to get this blue collar leadership book. I think that it's spot on. I think that you guys, everybody who's listening, has the power to change, to impact, positively impact many lives. Closing thoughts, Mac. Tell me, what do you got?
Well, as you're talking about the book, those three points, again, I'd like to say those are just three chapters from 30 in this book. And I wrote this book for people who are maybe like me. I mean, I still hate to read, but I read every day. But I wrote this, there's 30 chapters, 3 pages per chapter. So you can read one in 6 or 7 minutes. I call it toilet training. You can read a chapter on the toilet, potty training, if you want to say that. You know, read one chapter a day, 30 days, you've got the whole book read. And this book, I wrote it for entry level, frontline, blue collar, workers in any industry. But I had the guy who, a friend of mine now, I got to know him. We were friends. We go to dinner in each other's house and stuff. But his name's Amir Gnad. He was the number, he reported to one of the presidents of $8 billion Campbell Soup. And he was responsible for global people excellence and leadership development at Campbell Soup. And when he read my little book, I met him on LinkedIn and I sent him a book. He said he was interested. But he took my blue collar leadership book to the headquarters of Campbell Soup, and he was training, I believe, that day 49 white collar leaders at corporate headquarters, and he held up this little blue collar leadership book. and said to these white collar executives, every one of you need to read this book. And the reason he can say that, because it's full of principles. These principles apply to everybody. I wrote it for the frontline entry level person. And let me tell you this, Scott, because I don't want to leave this out.
No.
Because leaders, high impact leaders who will invest in their people, I'll invest in their people. Because that's what I really want them to do. My whole motivation and inspiration is to get people with the resources at their disposal to invest in their people. And what I do is any company who will buy 200 of these books, that's like $3,600, and give them out to their people, if they'll make that investment in their people, me and Rhea will travel anywhere in any of the 50 states, pay all of our expenses, and come on site to that blue collar company. I only do this for blue collar companies because that's where my passion is. That's where I want to be. And conduct up to 4 hours of on-site leadership development for anybody. It could be for the folks at the top, the middle, the bottom. They can put the whole entire company in there. I don't care who's in the room, what they want to learn. If they'll invest in their people, we'll invest in their people. That's showing my commitment to their folks. And the difference is it's always my money and my time. Most of the time, it's not these leaders' money. It's corporate money. I'm just trying to get them to put these books into people's hands to try to spark something in these folks.
That is a generous offer. Now, I've noticed in my notes that Amir Gahand.
Gnad.
Thank you.
Yep.
He wrote a book called Transformative Leader. Is that correct?
Yep. I'm going to refer him to you if I haven't already
and
get him on your show. He's an unbelievable resource.
Well, I'll tell you, what a great offer. What a great opportunity for companies. And I guess the next show would be, what are the steps that you take when you first walk into a car? I don't even know how you start that car. So you walk into the room and you got a bunch of people in there. What's that first thing that you, all right, here we go. And you turn that car on and boom. And to give any of your wisdom and all that, but there's got to be that point of saying, okay, this is how you get people engaged. So
that'd be a great story and a great show. I mean, in this, and what I, when I used to have those week-long events, we used to tell the people, we'd broadcast it to them incorrectly now, I know, but we'd say it's going to take between middle of the day Tuesday and middle of the day Wednesday before you're really engaged. You know, that's how long it really would take. But through my reading and learning and constantly applying and improving, applying Kaizen to my own life, I got that down to where they were engaged within 15 minutes on Monday morning. I figured out the problem was me. What I was talking about. So that would be a great show in itself. It's a gift that I have. And not that I'm special, but these principles are special if you'll apply them. There's nothing special about me except I apply these principles effectively.
Well, I know that we
sometime.
Go to the same barber, but you do have hair. I do not have hair, but we sort of go to the same barber.
I'm with you.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. And I appreciate Sparky, a.k.a. Max Story. You can find him out everywhere. He is out there. Find him, pursue him, get his books, read about it. It'll change your life. I am so honored to have you, and hopefully one of these days I'll meet Rhea. And like I said, there's a ton of information out there. Find out about the three things. If you're a blue-collar worker and you want to be able to transform your life into something special, go read that book and find out those three things as well as the 27 other chapters that are in there that will improve your life. Hey, Mac, thank you very much. I know that we had some technical difficulties in the beginning, but we pulled it off because you're that important. So I appreciate your time big time.
Thank you. It was a privilege to be on the Industrial Talk podcast. I think you're doing a phenomenal thing for the industry. And thank you, Scott. I'm sure you don't hear it enough.
Hey, thank you very much. And everybody, just hang tight and we're going to close on out. Thank you very much. I want to thank Mr. Max Story for spending time on the Industrial Talk podcast. Really appreciate him opening up his calendar to be able to be with us and share definitely the three successful blue-collar leadership principles as well as all of his books. He's a heck of a guy. So if you want to continue to learn, which this is what we're all about, And his story is inspiring. He's got a lot of energy. I would highly recommend that you go out there to thebluecollarleadership.com and get more information. And once again, thank you very much, Max Story, and for being on the show. So have a wonderful week, all, and I will talk to you next week. Be safe.